1 John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse number 8. As I was praying about my sermon this morning, I asked the Lord, Lord, I've worked on this all week long, got all my notes ready, ready to roll. What is it you want me to say? And I just felt so impressed this morning that I feel like the Lord gave me a word of knowledge, that there's some folks here that are hanging on to guilt and condemnation and just tricks that the devil is trying to pull on you. And you feel like you're hanging on. Not like when we were a kid at the monkey bars. You remember the monkey bars? We'd climb them. Let go of those. You drop, what, 18 inches? But some of us feel this morning like we're hanging on to the side of a bridge. And to let go of whatever it is that we're clinging to would be a fatal drop. And the Lord would say, it's not. It's a drop into my hands. So just be thinking about that. Don't you hate it when you get a bill for something that you know you already paid? Does that bother you? That bugs me. I gotta tell you. Now, I got an invoice this week from the water company. And it appears that the water company owes me $37.50. I don't know how this happens. But apparently, I have overpaid my water bill by $37.50. What I didn't see in the envelope was what? No check. They just wanted me to know that I know that they owe me some money. That was nice. That was kind of nice. But I have this other company that is billing me. And 3 years ago, I told you the story. My son was in a car accident. And he got to have a ride in an ambulance. And this ambulance company billed me. I think the bill was in the mail the next morning. For $156.23. And they want me to pay that. And so I called my insurance company. And they said, oh, no, that they've been paid. So ignore the bill. 4 months later, another bill. $156.23. I call them up. Hey, this has been paid. No, this wasn't paid. This part you need to pay. I call the insurance company again. Been done. I said, well, while I'm on the phone, let's call them. So we did a conference call, a three-way conference call. And I heard with these ears the insurance company say, you guys have been paid. Stop billing poor Mr. Coleman. Okay. 4 months later, this week, $156.23. Call the insurance company and the insurance company says, unfortunately, this company has just decided that as cheap as it is for them to print out an 8.5 by 11 invoice, with postage, they got like 50 cents into this thing. A certain amount of people are going to send them the $156.23. Not me. I've determined that if I'm in a car accident and an ambulance pulls up, I'm going to pull myself off the ground and take a look and tell them, I'm not riding in that one. Call me another. Christian, when we allow our relationship with the Lord to suffer because of sin or guilt, then we've allowed the enemy of our souls to double bill us. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Many of us are being ripped off. We're being double billed by the devil for something that's already been paid for. You want to know how? Well, let's start. Verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, who in the world would say that they have no sin? I mean, seriously, who in their right mind would say, I do not have any sin? Either a lunatic or a liar. But some of us say it with our attitude, don't we? We don't necessarily say, I do not sin. We say it like this. I'm a good guy. a good person. I pay my bills, I go to work, I come straight home, I take care of business. I'm a good guy. Well, you know, to say that to God is to say, God, I don't need you. I don't need you. I haven't done anything bad enough to need you. I have no sin. Or perhaps it sounds like this. You know, I'm a Christian, but I just don't want to go to church. I don't need it. I'm good to go. Now, that's saying to the Lord, I don't need you. I have no sin. Some people say, I don't need religion. I'm doing just fine. Ted Turner. Religion is a crutch for weak people. Perhaps Ted Turner doesn't need religion. But the day will come. And he's going to be sorry he doesn't have salvation. Amen? Some people say, there are just too many hypocrites in the church. And of course, we have the answer for that, don't we? The answer is, come on down, one more won't hurt. My email address is hesaidtitagain.com. Just go ahead and send. Some people say, well, how do you know the Bible is even true? And that is to say to God, I don't need you. I have no sin. So who would say I have no sin? Many people. But beloved, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, verse 7, then we will see our sin daily. How often? How often? Daily. We will see our sin daily. We will want to deal with our sin. How often? Daily. And that's the teaching of 1 John. So how do you deal with your sin daily? Look at verse number 9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The most important word in this most important verse is the very first one. And it's the word if. Beloved, if. And you know what this means? It means that this promise is conditional. Meet the condition, get the promise. Don't meet the condition, don't expect the promise. And the condition is, if we confess our sins. And the promise is, He forgives us all of our sins. How do I do that, Tim? Well, our first help comes from the original language. If we confess means if we practice confession daily. Daily. In his commentary, David Guzik writes, you don't need a confessional. You confess your sin as you are baptized. As you go into the water and you come back out, you're confessing, Lord, I need your cleansing. As we just took communion, we confess, Lord, I need the sacrifice. I need your body that was broken. I need the cup that represents your blood. That's confession. Of course, the most straightforward way is simply to pray, oh God, I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. In our family, we have a tradition at Thanksgiving. I think I'm just going to have them hook up an IV of water to me here for second service. Our tradition at Thanksgiving is that we gather and we worship and we pray and we eat like pigs. Anybody else share this tradition with the Coleman family? Amen. All right. But before we eat, my father-in-law says a prayer. And it's a precious prayer. Just precious. And when my dad-in-law prays, it doesn't sound like, you know, Lord, here I am a year later to pray with you. It sounds like a conversation that he's been carrying on all day. And he just talks to the Lord, Father, I thank you for my family. Thank you for gathering us again. And then before he ends it, he always says, and forgive us of our sins. And you know, I always feel like I've been baptized or something after that prayer. I looked forward to it for decades. And then finally, after praying it for decades and decades, it just got to be emotionally too much for him. And, you know, as people would pass and babies were born, he would try to pray and he would just choke up and not be able to pray that prayer anymore. And so 7 or 8 years ago, he pulls me aside and he says, "You know, it's your turn now to take on the tradition of praying before the meal." And I refused. "No." And he says, he chokes up a little bit and he says, "I can't do it." Okay, I'll do it, you know. Don't cry on me. So for the last 7 or 8 years, I have taken the spot of saying the prayer, and I always remember it at the end. "And Lord, forgive us of our sins." And so this last year at Thanksgiving, I pull my son aside. "Ben," try to lower my voice, "it's time for you, son, to take the family tradition of saying the prayer." And you know, you've met my son. He looked at me and said, "Cool." But remember, at the end, you have to stop and ask God to forgive us of our sins. And he didn't even ask me why. He just knew. It's a daily confession. You know, we have a wonderful pattern in the 51st Psalm. Turn there if you would. King David has fallen from grace. He sinned. He's been found out. The prophet goes to him, tells him, "Thou art the man." I think that's why so many of our children are named Nathan. So Nathan goes to David and says, "Thou art the man." And David writes, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me know. You will make me to know wisdom." Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities." And then one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Beloved, that is confession. Not coming to God and saying, "God, I made a mistake. God, I missed the mark. God, I didn't know." But to come and say, "Lord, I've sinned against you." And beloved, don't let a day go by without daily confessing your sins to God. The verse goes on, it says, "He is faithful." And that means true to His word. And you know, He can be nothing else. He's faithful. Christian, if you're struggling with feeling forgiven, may I suggest to you that the battle is a civil war? You have no fight with God. You have a fight between your spirit and your old man. I just finished a book called Wild at Heart. And in it, the author suggests that this struggle that we fight daily to feel okay with God, it's not with God. That battle is all inside our hearts. That's a civil war. That is our old man and our new man fighting with each other. We have no fight with God. I had the best example of this week. I can see a tree right out here, and probably most of you can't, but I can see it. And I got word last week that tree was falling over. And so Thursday, I brought my chainsaw to work. You don't bring your chainsaw to work? I did. Thursday, I brought my chainsaw to work, and my intention was fully to cut that tree down. And so I got my chainsaw going in my hand. I felt like Tim Allen. I was going to saw that tree down. And as I took a close look at it, I realized that that tree is in better shape than I thought. Truly. I thought that I was going to have to take the whole tree down. But as I looked at the tree, I realized that most of that tree was healthy and in good shape. But the trunk of the tree, half of it died. And I want you to go take a look at that tree. Don't leave here this morning without first taking a look at my tree. The trunk died in the ground. Half of it. And so half of it's growing. Well, it's not growing. Half of it's dead. And the other half of the trunk is alive. And they're side by side and they're kind of intertwined and intertwined. And so as I took a look at the tree, I thought, it's not really falling over. What's happening is the dead part of the tree is drooping. So I took my chainsaw and I cut off all the dead part of that tree. And the most amazing thing occurred to me about this tree. Now I want to ask you two questions about my tree. And I'm telling you up front, the answer to both questions is yes. Okay? Question number one, is that tree dead? Correct! Right answer here on the front row, you win little or nothing. But yes, that tree is dead. You go take a look at it afterwards. And you will say to yourself, you'll say, Pastor Tim is right. This tree is dead. Is that tree alive? Very good. It is. It is both dead and alive. And you can watch that tree grow all the way up, even out to the ends of the branches. Half of it's dead. Half of it's alive. I guess God just put it there just for us. And you know what excited me about this? Is that that tree is like us. There's a part of us that is spiritually alive. Alive! And not only alive, but okay with God. Do you realize that the part of us that God has made alive is fine with Him? He loves that part of us. He's not angry at us. He's not disappointed in us. That part of us is totally alive and totally fine. And then there's the old man part of us. And you know what? Two things about it. One, it's still with us. Obviously. Duh! And the other part is, it's deader than a doornail. But we still have to deal with it. We still have to trim it. We still have to keep our eye on it. And the beautiful thing about my tree out here is that the live part of the tree finally grew to the point where it stretched that dead part of the tree and broke its back. And when you go look at my tree, you will see halfway up the trunk that the dead part of the tree is snapped in half. Beloved, that's what God wants us to do. He wants the alive part of us. He wants our spirit to outgrow the old man to the point where it just breaks him. Will we always have to deal with the old man? Yes, we will always have to deal with the old man. But if we confess our sin daily, He will forgive. The Bible goes on and says that not only is He faithful, but He's just. The word just means innocent. What is God innocent of? God is innocent of the tricks that the devil pulls on us. God is innocent of the guilt that Satan brings to us, of the accusations that Satan brings to us, of the dirty tricks and lies that the devil tries to lay on us. God is innocent of that. Why do I tell you this? Because all of those things are not from God, beloved. They're not from God. And God wants us to release those things. The verse goes on, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As if forgiving our sins weren't enough, don't miss the beautiful second part of this verse, that He cleanses us. You know, it's this cleansing from all unrighteousness that makes it possible for us to have a relationship with God. Beloved, without that cleansing, we couldn't have a relationship with God. If Jesus didn't daily cleanse us from our sins, we would have to say with our Savior, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back from me? Why would we have to do that? Because of verse number 7. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Not even a little bit. And so if that darkness was to dwell in us, we couldn't have fellowship with light. And yet so many of us live our lives as if we can't have fellowship with God. And I'm here to tell you, that is a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And God wants us to open up to Him. The devil wants us to close off to Him. So many of us do that. And I just want to encourage you to step out in faith and have a relationship with God the Father. He wants to. He loves you. He desires you. He's right now preparing a room for you. This whole weekend, Lynette and I had company. Two separate families from our past. And it was glorious to have them. And when they arrived, they walked in with their stuff and they said, where do we put our stuff? And do you think I said, I don't know. Put it back in your car. You know, my house is all cleaned up. I don't want your stuff in my house. No. I said, you guys are in the red, white, and blue room. Just go down the hall. It's on your left. Next family shows up. Where should we put our stuff? You guys are down the hall on the right. Look for the treadmill that I use annually. Once a year. Just move my clothes over that are hanging on it and hang your clothes on it, right? We were ready for them. And I just want you to know that when you get to heaven, God's going to be ready for you. He's preparing now. He can't wait. He's not mad at you at all. Because your record is clear with Him. Well, Tim, what if I just don't buy this whole confession and forgiveness thing? Well, look at verse number 10. It's for you. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So, you might say, well, I'm not saying that I haven't sinned. I just want to choose my own way and deal with it. Well, we would be remiss to not stand in your way and say, hold it, train wreck coming. The road that you're on will lead you to hell. And we cannot not try to stop you. Because if you don't let God deal with your sin, you're going to have to deal with it in hell. And God wants to deal with it. To quote Yogi Berra, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Some of you this morning are at a fork in the road spiritually. And you have to choose one way or the other. And you don't want to. You want to choose both ways. Can I just have it both ways? No! Well, I don't like to choose one way or the other. You've done it before. When you went to school, you chose the school. Did you go to Stanford and Harvard at the same time? I don't think so. You had to choose a school. When you chose a spouse, did you say, he's cute, he's rich, I'll just marry both of them. You didn't do that. You chose one. When you named your children, did you struggle? Timmy or Tommy? Tommy or Timmy? Timmy or Tommy? Tommy or... We'll just name them both names and call them whatever we feel like. No, you chose a name. And I dare say, and I don't want to know if there is, but I would be willing to bet that there's nobody sitting here this morning with two outfits on. Right? You stood in front of the closet. Some of you guys stood there and you said, Blue Harley shirt or black Harley shirt? Blue, black, blue. You know, I've worn the blue Harley shirt 3 times to work this week, but it's my favorite, so I'm wearing that one. And you have to choose, beloved. You have to choose. You can't have it both ways. You can't have salvation from God and then do it your own way. You have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I confess my sins and I choose for you to forgive my sins and to have my life. Or you stand before the Lord someday and say, I didn't choose, but I wish I would have. Wow, this is heavy. Why is John writing these things? Well, let's look in chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, my little children, these things I write to you. Listen to the tone change here. He knows he's just laid this gauntlet down on them. And so he says, listen, listen, my babies, listen, kids. This is your old Uncle John here. I'm at the end of my life. And I'm not going to be around very long. And I know I'm laying a heavy burden on you. But listen, kids. Listen to what I have to say. These things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He says, I write that you may not sin. And John knows that the result of daily confession is that we become more and more apt to not commit sin. Beloved, daily confession draws us into a closer relationship with God. And it's that relationship that serves to keep us from sin. Remember last week we said the true test of true Christianity in one word is relationship. Well, guess what? The true power to keep us from sin is relationship. And that's what God wants. And yet, so often we close Him off because we feel like I'm not good enough. Or we have ourselves convinced. He knows my every thought. He knows everything I do. He must be mad at me. You know, He saw me lose my temper on the freeway. He saw me yell at my wife. He saw me kick the dog. He saw me yell at my kid. He saw me looking at something that nobody else knows I looked at. Surely, I can't come to Him now. He heard me wish for that person to be dead. He knows how much I hate that person. So surely, He couldn't have relationship with me. And I want to tell you, beloved, if your trust is in Jesus, God doesn't even know those things happened. He doesn't know they happened. The Bible says that the work of the cross has separated our sin as far as the east is from the west, from God the Father. He doesn't even know it happened. So your account with Him is clear. Empty. Paid in full. Are we talking about perfection? No. He goes on, and if anyone sins, and we all do, Romans 3:23, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What a beautiful word, advocate. It means intercessor and consoler. Intercessor, consoler. So when we sin, we don't need Johnny Cochran. We have Jesus as our defense lawyer. And so we sin, the devil goes to the Father. Oh, did you see that? Did you hear that? Look. Father looks at Jesus. Jesus checks the record. His record's clear. I paid for it. Intercessor, consoler. You know who He's talking to and who He's consoling? The Father. The Father. Beloved, your sin is clear. Your record is clean. And I just wonder if we really had a grasp on that. If we really knew it was okay to come to God without there being anything in between us. How would that change the way that we live for Him? How would that change the way that we worship Him? How would that change the way that we trust Him? For some of you, you've had a call on your life to do something for years. And perhaps only you and God know it. Maybe the person sitting next to you right now doesn't even know it because you haven't shared it, because you don't want to hear about it. And God would remind you this morning, I still am calling you to that. And perhaps your attitude, your reaction has been, well, I can't do it because of this, that, and the other in my past. That is the lie of the devil. God's not going to bring up your past for you because He sent His Son to die for it. So why would He do that? That makes absolutely no sense at all, does it? Well, it sounds a lot better when you say it, Pastor Tim, but I'm out here struggling. I know it. I am too. And so daily we have to come to Him. Realize that Jesus has stepped in and cleared our account. How did He clear it? In verse number 2, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. He Himself. That means He alone, and all of He. So Jesus didn't give 99% on the cross. We used to sing the old hymn, He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. That's how I would have written the story. Guy comes up with the spear to see if Jesus is dead. I would have written the story where Jesus says, hey, watch this. 10,000 screaming, flaming angels come down and just wipe out everybody in sight. Except for John, of course, because he had to be here to write the book. But that's not how it happened. He alone and all of He. He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. He's the atonement for us. Payment. He provides victory over sin for us on a daily basis. And you know what, beloved? If we're feeling defeated by our sin, that's us. And that's not Him. I just want you to know that God doesn't feel defeated by your sin. He paid for it. And so if we've built this barrier between God and ourselves, it's a one-way barrier. We built it. We're the ones that, perhaps in our obsession of our own sin, have built this wall between us and God. And God would say to you this morning that He wants you to tear it down. Why is this so important? Simply this. Sin separates. Jesus joins. Beloved, sin separates us from God. Why? Because it's darkness. And darkness and light can't coexist. And so if we fill our lives with darkness, it drives away the Lord. If we fill our life with Jesus, Jesus joins us to the Father. It's an amazing thing. Jesus will bring us into the presence of the Father. Sin by its very nature is darkness, and Jesus by His very nature joins us to the Father. What a wonderful gift to be able to stand someday before the ultimate judge, God the Father, and not be ashamed. You know, so many of us carry shame around, and like as if it were a backpack. We put it on. We carry the shame around. Jesus has died for it, but for whatever reason, we have it on us. We carry it around, and it just drags us down. Beloved, God would say, let go of that. To let go and let your relationship be as if you were sitting face to face. That's what the Bible means. Seek His face. Have that relationship with the Lord without barriers. Why do we at times live such defeated lives? Why do some of us live at times for years feeling so far from God? It's because we haven't updated our account. You need to click on that little refresh button. You know what I'm talking about? You get on the internet, it happens to me, I'm working on the church website, and I change something that I think, that's going to look really cool. And I go onto it, and I look at it, and I think, what happened? It didn't change. And then I remember, refresh. And it changes. For some of us, we need to remind ourselves, our account is clear. We need to update and refresh our webpage. Christian of guilt over sin that has been confessed and forgotten by God as a barrier between you and the Lord, it's a barrier that you need to remove. You need to tear it down. Jesus destroyed the barrier on the cross. So live like it. Live like it. Think like it. For some of you, you've never asked. And you're here, and you're like the dead part of my tree out there. And you don't feel spiritually alive. And if that's you, I want to invite you today. After we're all done, there's going to be some people standing up here. They would love to pray with you. And I hope that you'll come up and be prayed for. For some of us Christians, we're living life as if our sins weren't forgiven. And I want to tell you, you're ripping two people off. One, you're ripping yourself off. Because you're living without joy that you should know. And the other person is God. Because you're not having the relationship with Him that He wants you to. Beloved, when we get to God's house, it's going to be all hugs and smiles. It's not going to be long, bony fingers. I know what you did last summer. It's not going to be that. It's going to be, I've been waiting for you. That relationship that we have with Him in heaven, it's going to be so sweet. I can't wait to worship Him like my loved ones that have gone on before me. And I shouldn't wait. I should worship Him like that now. I can't wait to fall at His feet like Mary did, to worship at His feet. But you know what? I can fall at His feet now. I can't wait to just talk to Him. Tell Him how much I love Him. How much He means to me. You know what? I have no reason to wait, do I? Let's pray.